Welcome to Season 2 of Level With Us, where we'll be taking even deeper dives into the root causes and the intersecting issues of Central Ohio's housing crisis. Whether you're a first-time listener or a follower of the pod, thank you for lending your ears to an effort that is desperate for more attention, more voices, and more action. Everyone is affected by our housing shortage, whether you're a homeowner, a renter, a landlord, or someone experiencing homelessness or housing instability. And all of us have a role to play in fixing it. So here in Season 2, I'm bringing on more experts, community organizers, and leaders that I hope inspire more of you to find out what that role is. Today, I am joined by Jennifer Teed and Terrence Toon of the Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging, or COAAA. Jennifer supervises COAAA's Housing Assistance Program, or HAP, an Emergency Rental and Utility Assistance Program. Terrence is a housing resource specialist, preventing folks from entering homelessness and helping them age in place. For this episode, we discuss the unique challenges older adults face in our housing shortage, often living on fixed incomes, many socially isolated, experiencing chronic illness, mobility issues, and more. Finding and maintaining housing presents a set of barriers due to an insufficient system and, especially, insufficient funding.
HAP was created in 2019, and in 2020, obviously, the pandemic hit, and there were a lot of rental assistance dollars flowing throughout the city, throughout the area that we serve. That is slowly drying up, if it hasn't already. And so there's fewer places for us to refer people to if they don't meet our criteria. So it is becoming more challenging just because we're one of the few places in town that can assist the way we can.
These funding challenges obviously touch Terrence's program as well.
You know, this what everybody's dealing with, rent prices going up, the price of things going up, the population that we deal with being that they're elder are usually on fixed incomes. So they're hit the hardest and the fastest when rent goes up. We also deal with a lot of mass evictions, right? So, a 30-unit place is bought out by another bigger company and the rent goes up, and now all these people don't have anywhere to go. Helping handle situations like that. But, of course, that's changed, and that's the elder population is the most susceptible now to homelessness, more susceptible now than I think they've ever been.
I mentioned in a previous episode that Ohio's population is both old and aging. Those 55 and older make up nearly a third of our population, and our 85 and up cohort will double in size by 2050. As it stands, over 10 million households headed by someone 65 and older are cost burdened, meaning they pay more than a third of their income on housing. Half pay more than 50%. Due to economic restraints, as well as social, health, and ability factors, older adults remain at high risk of homelessness.
I know that we have served over 1,000 households since HAP was created, and what we're seeing is that people are in need of significantly more funding than what we are able to provide. So we have a lifetime max of $2,000, so people can use us more than once as long as they meet all of our eligibility criteria. But we've had people coming to us owing, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, sometimes even more in back due rent, and we're just not able to assist.
Where do those people go then?
Eviction court, probably.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. There's not a great solution for that. The ERA program that Terrence does had more funding earlier when it was started in 23 and early 24. They could do more months of funding.
For those not in the know, ERA means Emergency Rental Assistance.
So they could meet those higher amounts. I know that Impact also could do much higher amounts earlier in the pandemic when there was a lot of funding for rental assistance. But as of now, there's just not a program that I'm aware of that can meet that, you know, $4,000, $5,000 request that some people have.
All right. And it's based off with ERA dollars. They base it off of the months that you're behind. And I'm seeing an average of 3 months behind for most people when they're calling. They're in a situation where it's, you know, I have an eviction notice. I have a three-day notice. And I need a solution. Yeah, and that is just in volume getting bigger.
For those who can receive funding, the odds of remaining sustainably housed are actually pretty good.
For our program specifically, HAP, one of the things we look at is an unforeseeable financial hardship and sustainability after our assistance. So the goal is that these are people who are just have some kind of a hardship come up, whether it's car repairs, whether it's, maybe they had a water leak and they have a large bill that's due. Something came up, they don't have an emergency savings to dip into to cover that amount, and but they would be sustainable otherwise. So that would be like the ideal HAP case. So the goal is that they would be sustainable after our assistance and remain sustainably housed. Our funding is there for people that that have income, that have a good rent-to-income ratio. And so the goal is that they would be sustainably housed after our assistance. So I know a lot of our numbers show that I think it's in the 80s, 80% of people are still sustainably housed 6 or 12 months after our assistance, and that's the goal of the program. They have to have income. They have to be able to pay for their rent after our program assists them.
Is homeownership a dream you have? Take one step closer to making it a reality by attending HomePort's Home Buyer Resource Fair on June 25th from noon to 4. You might not be ready to buy a home tomorrow, but at our resource fair, you can talk with lenders and housing counselors, begin to explore your options, gather information, and make connections that will prepare you for when you are ready to take that step. Registration is free, and the link to do so will be in our show notes. With lack of funding, it's hard to reach everyone in COAAA's service area with existing programs, let alone think about adding more. The unfortunate reality is that the infrastructure to support aging Americans as it stands is insufficient. And with so many holes, it's easy to slip through.
I mean, again, we can start with funding. We can start with programming revolved around housing sustainability or housing, right? Because the biggest issue is finding somebody to go. I think about some of the ladies who I have in their late 60s who have pets and have been living in the same place for 13 years. And, let's say in a perfect world, we do find them a place. Now the issue is who's coming to help you pack all that stuff up you've been having in your house for, there's no company designed for that. We were speaking to keeping you in your home because you're back on your rent. I mean, there's some people who just, cognitively decline and, they can't handle a transition from, hey, I know you were giving me checks to now we do a direct deposit portal. And you need a password and log into the portal to pay your rent. Yeah. That's a mind wop for somebody who, just didn't have to do that. They're used to bringing you money orders on the first.
Right.
And now that that's changed, I haven't paid my rent because I don't understand the portal and how to sign in and do all that jazz. So I just haven't been paying my rent.
So just that lapse in like technology awareness.
Big deal. Wow. Technology is a big deal. I mean, it hurts me the most when, it's practically, you deal with everybody different, but there's a lot of situations in which, all you have to give to somebody is a website. And it's like, well, here, this is your resource. But me handing you this, it's like, I know you don't know how to operate this machine, but this is all I have for you. Mm-hmm. Or, even when it comes to filling out applications for, apartments, they're online. So how do you get to speak to a human and tell them, hey, I'm 67 and I'm not really tech savvy. Is there a piece of paper I can fill out? Just the same, but a lot of these organizations are so, user friendly is what we like to call it, that, we're ages and we're weeding out a lot of the people who weren't part of that.
Yeah. So beyond funding, maybe like a client advocate who can kind of step in and help them navigate these things?
For sure. So there are programs. The state has an ombudsman program that advocates for seniors, but it's on a totally different level. It's more so the quality of life piece when dealing with living facilities and whatever services you're getting provided under Medicaid. They're, I think, a heightened version of that, or a more detailed version of an advocate where, I'm personally advocating for your everyday life. Because there's a lot of places ombudsmen don't go, like apartment complexes. you know, I can't advocate to a landlord to change things. That's his private property. He can do what he wants, right? But an assisted living facility or someplace else is governed different. Mm-hmm. So for those people who are not in assisted livings or not, or just in the community still, who do you have to go to?
Jennifer suggests that something deeper needs to change to get to the heart of this issue.
I mean, what we really need is a culture that is dedicated to supporting seniors and keeping them housed where they would like to be housed. Mm. And we're so far from that right now. I would love to see, you know, we have the homestead exemption for people that own their homes, which is a reduction in their property taxes, and it has a an income contingent piece to it. I would love to see that further increase. So people with, you know, even lower incomes pay no property taxes so that they can stay in their homes. That's a big piece of why people end up losing their homes. They're paid for outright. They might have, you know, $1,200 a month in income. They cannot pay a $4,000 property tax bill. It's just not possible. For people that are renting, we see people who, again, are having less than $1,000 in income. They can't even get approved for places that they theoretically could afford, even though they'd be considered still extremely rent burdened, maybe paying 50% or more of their income to their rent. That's still an amount that we see every day and have. We see people paying 50 or 60% of their income towards their rent consistently. Obviously, we want to see them at or below 30%. That is, you know, 29% and below is considered non-rent burdened. So we'd love to see them in that range, but that's just not very possible. There are some subsidized properties that have apartments where you pay 30% of your rent, of your income to your rent. Those have extensive wait lists. Some of them have, you know, 5 or 6 years wait list. Best case scenario is 1 or 2 years. Some of the more rural counties have less of a wait list, but they're oftentimes kind of, they're not connected to the services that a person might need, the doctors that a person has been seeing for 20 years for their chronic conditions. There's so many things that would need to be redone to promote seniors aging in place, living where they want to live, comfortably supported, accessing the services that they need. And so we just do what we can. We have our program, Terrence has his program, and I think everybody involved with the housing assistance program would tell you that it is a Band-Aid. It is a Band-Aid on a much bigger issue, but it is what we can do right now, and it is a great joy to be able to do that, to be able to solve at least one problem in a person's life and keep them housed. Even if the same thing might happen in a year, we won't be able to help then, we can help them right now and just hope that they're going to be able to maintain after that.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, I guess. Housing is an elephant of an issue, and we, COAAA, Homeport, and the many other organizations full of people trying to help are all just doing our part to address it. While some days it can feel like we're getting nowhere close, the success stories can make it all worth it.
I always say I give a lot of hard no's and happy yeses, sad no's and happy yeses, because when somebody's ineligible for rental assistance, it's usually the last straw, and I don't know what to tell you. Know, I mean, there's little to go from there as far as getting funds to help you with your rent. But when I can and it works and it's fine, I mean, you'd think I was handing somebody a check, you know, a lot of times. You know, I have people that still call and just check on me because I paid their rent a year ago and they don't want anything at all. Those are good feelings. I have a lot of people who are in limbo with Social Security via the process. And again, that technology being one of the biggest barriers because they had to fill it out online and they don't know if they got it. And I got this in the mail, you know, back and forth about that. But while in limbo, you know your rent's taken care of. And that's just the weight lifted. I mean, I could imagine if somebody came and took care of my mortgage for 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a big weight off my chest. So, yes, I see a lot of people who are in a position of no advocacy at all, didn't think anything was going to happen, and somebody just gave them my phone number, and they heard my voice and said, oh, okay, cool, I feel all right.
Yeah.
You know, so hearing anxiety go away is a big deal.
We do a great job of making sure that every single person that we talk to, we're screening them for kind of what other services are they in need of. Do they need help you know, getting in-home services? Are they not a client of COAAA? Could they benefit from an assessment? And we'll send them to screening if that's appropriate. Do they need linkage with Franklin County Senior Options? Do they need home-delivered meals? Do they maybe need some case management, like ongoing case management? Can we send them to supportive services? We might be the first, you know, professional that has talked to this person. They might be, you know, early on in the, kind of the aging process, they might have their first brush with like a chronic illness and it's decreased their functioning. We do serve people who are 50 and up as well. So a lot of times in that age group, you have people that are still working. Can we get them connected to employment services? If they're looking for work and they don't have income, they're not eligible for us, what can we get them connected to support that? So just every case has its own challenges and benefits, and it's just the most rewarding job to be able to say, you know, I'm not, there's no judgments, there's no reciprocity, they owe us nothing, right? We're just putting out this money, hoping that it helps them long term. And whether we hear back from them or not, every case is really a success story.
Level With Us is brought to you by Homeport and is recorded, mixed, and edited by Lauren Sega. All sources are in the show notes. Homeport creates strong communities by developing quality, affordable homes on a cornerstone of dignity, security, and opportunity. To learn more, or if you'd like to support our mission, visit us at homeportohio.org.